Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, we are always a world at war. The Barbarian on the radio is here. Physicists tell us that our radio waves are being beamed throughout the universe and the cosmos, that alien planets and galaxies can hear this show. We're also being broadcast 25 nations. All over the nation tonight. We're broadcasting deep into China. And 1 billion people in India are tuning in. Japan's numbers have went up in the Empire of the Sun. Japanese people are smart. They want to stay tuned with what's going on in the Pacific Rim with China and the rest of the cabal. We're also broadcasting to Eastern Europe, deep in Ukraine, Mexico. Our message goes all throughout the world, over the Pacific, over the Atlantic. And I would have it no other way. This show has always had a strong international audience. 10% almost of our entire listenership is international. We see downloads from Denmark, Estonia, Italia, France, the old Yugoslavia under dictator General Tito, Greece, Adriatic have been there, China and Malaysia, South America we're making some big inroads on, but I think they're too busy having fun. South America. But they have their own set of problems with leftists and Marxists, as we do in this country. Well, last week, we had a great VIP guest. I've got more cooking, so don't worry. Once in a while, it's good to shake up the show format. I love to mix things up. I love to change gears. Mix it up and change the format a bit. We had the UFO and alien abduction expert Joe Montaldo on our show. And now he was once on Ancient Aliens, and he runs ICAR, which is the international UFO and abduction research facility there in New Orleans. Very interesting guy, no doubt. Great show. You can catch the podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We'll have him on again. He talks very fast. You got to really listen intently to Joe, because he goes fast. He's a wealth of information. We'll have some other people, too, on. Remember, we're a radio variety show. Sometimes I felt it was time to get off of the politics and go into something kind of fun, kind of interesting, mix it up a bit. But whenever I try to deviate the show a little bit from the political track, just like the mafia, we get sucked right back in. Like Michael Corleone in The Godfather, just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. You know, I did tell Joe Montaldo that I want to be the first American ambassador to the Galactic Federation from America. That'd be great. Did you all catch that speech by Joe Biden last night? Unreal. Unhinged. We'll get into that. Trust me. Tonight, if you're a new listener to the show, we have many new listeners. I know you're out there. We can tell by our stats. Our VIP line is 563-999-3437. First-time callers get in for free. First in line, calls free. And tonight, we'll have Contra Radio coming on. Now, they advised me that they've had historical, the biggest downloads ever since putting the Von Wehen show on their website, which is great news. I knew we were good, but I think we're getting damn good. And people respond to it. They know this is a show where they've got a platform. They tell me, Von, I'll never call your show. But you speak for me. You mirror my thoughts, or at least the majority of them. No one's perfect, right? But I do let the American people speak. I told you before on many, many shows, many of you have said that you've called other radio shows. Don't expect the hosts of those rhino shows to be like me. Oh, no. One, there's four or five types of radio shock jocks or talk radio hosts. I'll go over a couple. You got one that's Mr. Ego. It's all about him. He talks 2-3 hours a day straight, takes no calls. The show's all about me, he says. Oh, he might take one caller grudgingly, as you can tell in his voice. Okay, we'll take a call. I'm line 2 or 3, right? Then you've got the guy that's got the program director, and he can't deviate from the script, from his watered-down rhino talking points. God forbid you call up his show, you go 1 inch off the outline that he's got, or you say one thing the least bit controversial, he'll yank your microphone, say, you're never welcome on my show again. We don't talk about that stuff here. That's just too controversial, and we don't want to upset anybody or offend anybody. God forbid. That cuck, that weakling, that gutless punk behind a microphone. Those are the main two that I've heard. I do listen to other shows to hear what the competition's doing. And there's some good shows that are out there for sure. The other one is the guy that will talk in a conversational tone, but you listen to him for 2 or 3 hours, though he's pleasant to listen to, kind of, sort of, takes a few calls. You learn absolutely nothing from his show. Not one number, not one stat, not one narrative, not one meme. You learn absolutely nothing. It's a complete waste of time. It's kind of like eating at McDonald's or some fast food place. You're hungry, you eat, it temporarily fills you up, and you realize, I need a real meal now. That was a snack. My stomach is still empty. You're going on empty. And it's that realization as you're leaving the drive-thru. I made a bad, bad mistake here. I think we've all had that at one time or the other. Well, crazy Joe Biden rails against the nation and says half the country who voted for Trump are basically enemies of the state. We'll talk about it on my show tonight. We will hear from you in the towns, the cities, the farms and ranches, and the gridirons of real America, where eagles dare. We will call a spade a spade. Welcome to church. Yes. Now, my show, I believe you have a right to express yourself. I agree with many of your expressions of politics, of social ills in our society, the degeneracy, the crazy crime sprees that are out there going unchecked. Your opinions about our border being wide open are my opinions, as I've expressed them on this show as well. On my show, you have a right to speak. Now, we don't have all the time in the world, as you know, we're a radio show. We do have a time clock here in the studio. But we do our best. We always do our best. I try to give the American people a voice wherever I go. Now, that's the premise of the show and how we go. This is how we roll. Now, the Democrats, the Milton Democrats, have went from deplorables to now they call the MAGA Republicans semi-fascists. Well, that's their word, not mine. Unbelievable. You know, it's just crazy. Biden yelling, ranting, just bizarre. Well, don't worry, my fellow Americans. We've got you covered. Have faith, and there will be better days ahead, or else we will see to that. And one day we will run the communist occupiers out of all the countries for good. They will be gone, every last one of them. I want to see them running and being hunted down. Well, you know, Biden is called half of America fascist because they voted for Donald Trump. We will talk about fascism. It's on my show. We'll talk about everything. And fascism is a hell of a lot better than Bolshevism and communism. I'll put it to you that way. Now, many fascists are around the world, and they have a right to their opinion. I will say they have some valid points, because if you look at our democracy, so-called democracy, and you look at our trajectory that we're on currently, and everything going on, the craziness of it all, it doesn't bode well for America. I repeat, and I will remind you, and I remind myself and other people who ask me all during the week, the founding fathers, when they made this country, when we fought against it, and let us not forget, to backtrack even a little bit further, that they called George Washington the first fascist of America. His detractors have called him that for many, many decades now. Yeah, so George Washington is the first fascist of America. Well, George Washington is the first fascist of America. I will fight under him. How about those apples? You like that? Sure. No problem. And we did. We beat back those redcoats across the pond, back to their island nation where they belong. It's our country, not theirs. And it took them two times to figure that one out. Don't forget, folks, they came back to America in the War of 1812, the little known war that you've never been taught, you've never been told anything about. They don't want you to know your own history. They actually burned the White House. They tried to burn Washington, D.C. This is actually an episode in Ancient Aliens where this torrent of rain, the British soldiers said they saw like these, how should I put it, these Germanic angels with swords in the sky above D.C. Some of the reports are really interesting, and a torrent of rain came down on their fires. This is why today they never completely burned down Washington, D.C., and we did preserve the scorch marks on the foundation of the White House, and you can see them on a tour. I believe they still have that tour. Pretty interesting stuff about our history. The British came back to take back the colonies, and did America sit back and let them take it back? Let us be enslaved again under the King of England? No. I told you before that all politics eventually ends up out of the barrel of a gun, sooner or later. And what happened in 1812 was Americans said, no, we're not going to be enslaved. We were a fledgling country. Everything starts out slow. Everything starts out small, from a business to a country to a city to a town. We grabbed our muskets and we ran out there again and we beat them back with Andrew Jackson and others. that were victorious in battle. And we taught them a thing or two. We taught ourselves a thing or two also, that we weren't going to put up with their crap. Now, we were a young country full of brawn. We were like a young, I always say America in 1776, we were like a young teenager full of testosterone, young teenage male, and we were ready to kick ass and take names all over the world. The world didn't know it yet, but we were going to kick their ass and take their names and conquer. And they found out what they were dealing with. It takes some people a while to figure it out. And I always say, as the mafia will tell you, some people need to learn the hard way because they just don't get it. And that's okay. That's why God invented the gun. So go forth and conquer. We are awake in this country. We are awake as we have never been, and we are never going back to sleep again. We are never going to be enslaved. Now, right now, we have an occupational government, which is very obvious to all. But that's okay. I say this. People ask me all the time. I always say, you got to be functional in society. Let's keep kicking the can down the road. Let's keep using their fiat currency. Keep buying your gear. Get fortified. Now's the time. If you're working, keep that job. Maybe get two. Use that money, that fiat currency, and spend it while you still can spend it on things you really need. A lot of you guys are just starting to get gear, and you know, you don't even own a truck or an SUV or hiking boots. Maybe you're buying your first gun. I get it. A lot of people are late to the party. And that's okay. Better late than never, I always say. But you know what? You got a lot of an uphill battle to go on. You better be thinking ahead. Now, a lot of people are light years ahead of you, and that's okay too. So some of you guys have weaned yourself off that Democrat heroin and political heroin, I call it, and fentanyl, and you're awake and you're wide awake and you're drug free. Thank God. And by the way, don't take any of those pills you see on the streets, guys. Don't take anything, and I mean anything, that isn't prescribed by a doctor that you don't get out of a regulated pharmacy. And even then, double check. That fentanyl is killing a lot of people. Asymmetrical war against America by China and the cartels. Well, they're real glad I'm not president, because I would go to the source of where that's coming from. Those cartel bases would be totally destroyed under Von Wehunt. And everyone in there would be destroyed. And then I'd go to China. And they'd have some problems too, put it that way. That's how I roll. I'm a nice guy. And we're all nice people until we're not, right? Our country's being attacked. Why look the other way? It is what it is. It's happening. We see these deaths every single day, thousands of ODs across our nation, thousands of problems. Now it's in the suburbs. And the cartels are just sitting back laughing at you, America. Chinese polo barrels loving their war against America, their asymmetrical war. They've got Biden where they want him. He's bought and paid for. He and his son, his whole crime family, allegedly, of course. So they can't do anything. They know they're not going to do anything about anything. So this is where we're at. But someday Biden will be gone. And we'll see what happens then. Of course, it'll be, I don't think he's going to win the next election if he's already cast his hat in the ring, so to speak. Even though he wasn't solid the first time, I think there may be a few glitches the second time around. But there's a lot of shoes that are going to be dropping. You're going to see a lot of weird news, a lot of weird things. I keep telling people, I go, you can't even explain it to people. It's like America is a riddle wrapped up in an enigma, wrapped up in an emblem, cloaked in secrecy. Okay, so you can't explain it to people in a short soundbite. So I just tell them, look, my best advice to you is save your money, buy what you need, keep your job, keep your cash flow going, stay healthy, be physically fit because you're going to need it, work out, whatever works out best for you. Have weapons be able to protect your home, because Biden's not going to come and save you. No one's coming to save us. The police have been taught and trained, and they will be ordered by their Democrat mayors to stand down. With anything that goes on in the country, they will not come to your rescue. We've seen it time and time again. Now, the individual police officers may want to do something. That's a whole different story. I'm not doubting them, the rank and file. I'm talking about the Democrat prosecutors, the DAs, the mayors, the Democrat governors, or our Democrat president. They will be told to the grapevine to stand down. So no one's coming to save us. We all know that. That's why it will fall upon you and me as the individual, always the rugged individual in America, once again. And I tell people that you better toughen up. You better get a thick skin. You better be thinking ahead. Food, water, medicine, whatever you think you need. Now, I say this. Let's, you know, we live in la-la land in America. Let's live as well as we can for as long as we can, right? I mean, you can still go out and get things that you need, that we have problems compared to other countries. We live in Disneyland for adults. So we live pretty damn good over here still. And I tell people, don't look, things will naturally happen. They already have, and they will continue to. We're going to see a lot of things happen in our lifetimes. Well, we all know that there's a lot of people in our rhino corrupt establishment that will do anything to suppress sites and radio shows like the Von Wehun Show from revealing the truth. We are not corporate media. That's why I can say what I want. But the corporate media does not like shows like mine, and they will try to demonetize sites like mine or get us out by blackballing us from sites and any kind of future advertising revenue, of which there is none, because I am funding the show by hook and by crook. They use their big tech and their social media, computer trolls and all that. There's a lot of that stuff that's going on right now in America. Well, when I think about that, I love reading your mail and seeing what's going on out there. A man wrote the show, and he goes, "Dear Vaughn, love the show. I live in New York City, and we get your show up here, and we call it Satan's City. And Congressman Jerry Nadler is from here." He goes, "Let's face it, Nadler loves Antifa because it's an organization that promotes riots and mayhem, and Nadler more or less hates white people," he says. And he goes, "He's also an atheist and a terrible congressman. We hate him up here. I don't know why he keeps winning." Which I write back, "Well, that's because New York is corrupt, and we all know who controls New York City. It's definitely not you or me, man." Well, I told you before, always remember this, that a corrupt criminal government is nothing but a mirror image of a people who allow it to exist. And that goes for all of us. Right now, I think America is watching the train wreck, the huge car crash, the huge 100-car pileup, which is called Biden's regime, and we're all watching it off the side of the highway. Everyone's driving 5 miles an hour. They're slowing down the economy. The millennials are trying to lay flat, or they're quietly quitting, the media tells. Everyone's rubbernecking, looking at this charred remains and fiery car crash, this 100-car pileup. So I kind of, it's my best analogy for this country at this time. It's just incredible. It's so bad, you've got to stop and look at it. Well, another guy named Gary wrote the show, and he goes, "Hey, Vaughn, this is true." I even posted this on my Gab page, that he goes, what the F happened to Texas? He goes, they have Antifa out there protecting the drag queen parade, I believe in North Texas. He goes, "The right in this effing country is a ballless joke. We have 400 million guns. And basically, and that's all we've got And he goes, all these people that talk a big game, they are worthless. When we were organizing the militias back in the 1990s, he says, after Ruby Ridge and Waco, that terrible fiasco, he was on the right. Most Americans are 1,000 times more worthless now, even with 400 million guns and all. There's no fight in any of them. He goes, and another thing, Vaughn. He goes, Biden is such an abrasive asshat. Just love your mail, guys. Biden's the one fighting with the country and fighting against the citizens. One day, Biden will pick a real fight. He will have to actually fight with a power far bigger and more ruthless than he is, and he'll lose. And that could be Russia or China. I'm staying tuned, listening, Gary. Okay, thank you, Gary, from North Texas there. Amazing. Well, Joe Biden is evil and a threat to democracy everywhere. So I've told you before that if you get a chance, go check out his speech. We are a world of war. That's right. Joe Biden has declared war on America, it seems. What he was really saying, my translation for his speech in what I call stark political terms, is what Joe's saying really is this. If you don't vote for me and my jackass Democrat Party, then you are a terrorist, simple as that. It's my way or the highway. Now get in line or we will hunt you down. And by the way, neither party, the Republicans, the MAGA crowd, they're not fascists. Far from it, but that's a different story. It won't be long in my book until Biden will say that whites of European descent are a threat to democracy. That'll be next. They're inching ever closer to that. It's only a matter of time, really. According to Democrat partisan Joe Biden, MAGA Republican, you know, it looks like to the DNC and the leftist militant media, it's basically any white man with a gun and a real dog in the suburbs who is not a bitch or a slave to the Democrat Marxist Party. Basically what it is. I want to know what false flag is now being planned by Democrat Biden and his deep state agents to usher in martial law and to suspend the midterm and 2024 elections, America. That'll be next as well. Well, Biden had the dark and the red satanic backlighting for this Evil Empire Democrat Hollywood production, the bright red light right now. CNN said that was magenta. Looked demonic red to me. All they were missing really were the satanic devil-worshipping monks in hooded robes. As Biden spits his venom at the American people and sets the stage for many false flags to come in the banishment of the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights, it is Joe Biden and his minions and federal deep state bureaucrats, rogue agents that have infiltrated our government, by the way, who are the direct threat to our republic, and everyone knows it. Well, tonight we'll have Contra Radio calling in a few minutes. We're glad you're here tonight. Remember, this is the rogue, the infamous, and the legendary Von Wiehunt Show. And accidents never happen in a perfect world.
Happen in a perfect world.
Gotta love that by, that's some retro Blondie there. Accidents never happen in a perfect world. Think about it. We don't live in a perfect world, do we? Now, the top FBI agent accused of protecting Hunter Biden from probes resigns. That veteran was marched out of FBI HQ over claims he suppressed the laptop story and was politically biased. And Mikhail Gorbachev died a few days ago. He allowed the old Soviet Union to collapse under its own weight. He is lauded and loved abroad and by the international media, but hated at home in mighty Mother Russia for that foreign policy humiliation and losing the evil empire. Because their people loved the evil empire. And so the bottom line, Russia, in my condensed von Weehunt flair for condensing things, I say this. The crazy Ivans are back in control of that country. They are crazy Ivans. They're back in control. The old guard is done. There is no perestroika. There is no glasnost. Perestroika, there's no detente, however you want to pronounce it. There is none of that. Gorbachev is gone, dead. And Putin will not even attend his funeral. How about those apples? Yeah, so they're going to give him some minor state honors, bury him and forget about him, because right now the crazy Ivans are back in control of mighty Russia, and they want their empire back. We saw that in Crimea and now Ukraine. And it's not going to stop in Ukraine. Their 20-year plan to get back the empire has commenced, folks. We're in a new Cold War with Russia. Now, maybe at the top levels, we share information, yada, yada. But the bottom line is, if you're in Europa right now, you're going to freeze this winter because you guys just sold your soul, and now Russia's cut you off for all natural gas. There's already 4 days in line, I hear, in Poland to get a bucket of coal to burn for heat. And also, winter starts over there about a month earlier. So they're screwed. Better buy some more parkas, some more jackets over there if you live in Poland or Germany or any of those Baltic states. It's going to be a cold, long winter. Wow. Well, let's get to some calls. Let's get over to the Gladiator from his North Valley compound where as we're waiting for Conch Radio to come on. Gladiator, how are you doing, man? Are you there? I kind of hear you. Tell you what, we will come back to the Gladiator here in a second. I couldn't hear him there. Let me tell you about the show last night. I was going to have the show, but then again, I moved it to tonight, one time only. I went to a concert last night, last minute thing. Had a ticket and that I got through covert means. Anyway, I went to Celebrity Theater here in Phoenix. Why I had to bump up the show. Kind of, I had a feeling it was going to happen this way, and it did. Anyway, make a long story short, some radio friends were putting on this concert. It was a big 80s show. And I thought about America and the show. In the 80s decade, they had all the bands playing like Missing Persons, Dramarama, Flock of Seagulls, Naked Eye. Some of these names are dating. These were the things that I grew up with as a kid, the big 80s. And I love that music still today, the big 80s. So they had, you know, Stacy Q on there. They had all these bands play. It's a pretty cool show. The group was great. The younger people there that weren't even thought of in the 1980s love it. They were all there. I was surprised how many young people dig the 80s and that kind of music. So they're turning their backs on the rap, a lot of it, and they're going back to their roots, so to speak, which is a good thing, because when I look at the people that were there and just looking at that, the 80s decade was a great decade. And if you're too young listening in on the show, Let me tell you, you missed a good one of no fault of your own. But I was there, and I remember it well, you know, and these bands, nobody knew about these new wave bands, okay, that came from America. They came from, a lot came from New York and L.A. Let me tell you a bit about it. What I'm trying to get to is that they all had a dream, if you condense it down, and they followed their dream. And these people started a movement. These people created fashion, music, which is huge in American culture, whether you like it or not, it is, you know, from rock and roll to new wave. They created fashion. They created trends. They created a philosophy, if you will, of how to live and phrases, everything from Spuds McKenzie, you know, with the Bud Light commercials. They had a floating Spuds McKenzie flying around to, boy, that brought back memories of my frat room. To, we had a big poster of him. That's a dog, by the way, for those of you who don't know who Spuds McKenzie is. It was a beer commercial that was hilarious. But my point is that you could take what they did in music and put it into politics, put it into current events. In other words, if you have a dream, if you're gunning for something, if you believe in something, never let loose of your dreams. Never let go of them. Because these people were in probably crappy L.A. apartments, crappy mid-America apartments. And, you know, the bands came from Detroit and the Midwest and all over the place. And they created a music scene that's still popular today, you know, 30, 40 years later. And it's going to go on because I'm a big believer in creation. When you create something valuable, people love it and they thrive on it. And that's where I was last night, watching that scene and enjoying the music, enjoying the show. But on a deeper level, I was thinking about, man, you know, you got to stick to your guns. These performers, these musicians, nobody ever, I'm sure a lot of people told them, oh, you're never going to make it. You know, you're never going to get there. You're never going to make it big, kid. Why don't you pack it up and make burgers or work for your uncle or go back to the farm? You know, go back to your little town. Put your tail between your legs. They want to demoralize you. Don't let these turkeys get you down. These people, the way I look at them is that they were told that in spades, because I've read up on some of these bands before. And I love reading about the earliest journalist or the person who first meets them, like the very first interview, to me is critical, crucial, because that's where you get that stuff about their not. This is before they make their first hit or something, right? So my point is that you could take what these guys do. One thing is that they are committed. They were committed to their profession, committed to their genre, to making music, and they never deviated. It was their dream. Well, the same is true in politics or current events. If you have a dream that you'd like your country, your city, your town to be a certain way, don't give that dream up. You don't have to. You've got to keep pushing the envelope, keep persevering, whether it's politics, whether it's business, whether it's, you know, the music scene or entertainment. If you're starting a new business, there's people out there, I call them the dream killers, and they will kill your dream. They'll say, you can't do that, or that's not popular right now. It could be a political thing. It could be a social thing. Just do what works for you, America, and stick to your guns, and don't worry about these detractors, the naysayers, the doubting Thomases. The world's full of those people, and we have millions of them. And they'll tell you, you can't do something, and you shouldn't do something, and you should get down to brass tacks and get realistic about your life, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a place for that. And I get them too. But my point is, if it's your dream, man, if it's what you really want to do, like the old saying goes, you're better off being a pauper and loving what you do than being miserable and just making a living. So that was a cautionary tale as well. Great, great show. everybody there was pretty much of a European descent who likes 80s music. So it was a great show, great people, a lot of laughs, no issues, no problems, no shootings, no stabbings, none of that crap happened. There was police there, go in, watch the show, walk out, and those musicians had a dream. So don't forget that, you know, if you're into something, you got a new idea for a widget or a business, pursue it, man. Pursue it. Remember, the U.S. Constitution says the pursuit of happiness. They never guaranteed you that you would be happy. All they did, the founding fathers, they set up a nation where you could pursue your dreams. And with that, let's try the gladiator one more time, see if we can get him on the line here live. If not, we will get to another call here. Let's see if he's there. Gladiator, I hear you now. Are you there? Is the phone working? Kind of, sort of. Having some phone issues there. We'll come back to the gladiator. Let's get to the gunslinger in Texas. Mr. Gunslinger, are you there tonight?
Yes. Can you hear me?
How you doing? I can hear you fine, man. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, coming loud and clear, wall to wall and treetop tall, we like to say in the old TV days. Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah, I was, you know, saying you went to the concert. Yeah, those were the better days, you know, because I graduated in 83, you know, grew up in the late 70s, early 80s. And we didn't have no shootings or school shootings or any of this crap. This is ridiculous. I mean, we went to, I was a freshman in high school in 79, and, hell, all the redneck guys drove the pickup trucks. They had shotguns and rifles in the back of their pickup windows. The principal knew about it. The parents knew about it. The cops knew about it. No problem. Every day. I mean, every single day. And there was nothing like it. There was no, I mean, this is what has happened to society. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. And especially I heard you mention about this drag queen thing up here in Roanoke, Texas. I think it's Roanoke. It's north of Dallas up here. That's ridiculous. Can you believe how society has gone down the tubes?
What the hell happened to Texas, man? Exactly. I mean, they were in North Dallas. I saw them. I put them on my Gab page. Little Antifa out there, and you got little punks out there with their rainbow-colored handkerchiefs over their faces, and they have pink hair and purple hair, carrying what looks like a BB gun or a .22 pistol. I mean, it's so bad. Who would look at that as a threat? Not a threat. It's a joke. But they're out there. You know?
Yep. They're out there. I mean, I've seen the same pictures up there, and I almost died laughing. I mean, yeah, they look like little .22s or little old water pistols, maybe. I mean, you pull out a man's gun, like I carry a .357 Magnum, I'd shit a brick.
Yes!
Literally.
That's a real man's gun.
Real man's
I will pull
gun
out my assault rifle. I like my assault rifle, and my rifle is mine, and I know it very intimately. I love the Marine Corps creed to their rifle. Love that.
Yeah.
This one is special, and this one is mine, and my rifle is made just for me. Yeah, I have real man guns, too. You know, but some of these guys, well, you know, the leftists are deranged. And that was my greater point was, I'm glad you caught on to it. Well, you know, here we went to an 80s concert. There were no protesters outside. You know, there was, it was pretty much a European white crowd. Because let's face it. I mean, it's like, you wouldn't see a ton of white people at a rap concert. This was like new wave 80s. So that's pretty much 99% white, typically. No problems. Police were laughing, joking. I know a couple of the cops, and they were, hey, Vaughn, and I walked in, and, you know, they were just doing their thing, and it was just, you can't go to many venues, is what I'm saying, in America, in the public. That's why I picked that one, and I was hoping they could kind of get me in the back door. And so there's not many venues that you can go to in America where you don't have to see a stabbing, a shooting, people yelling, you know, nothing racial was there. Everybody was cool to everybody there. It was a diverse crowd of, you know, there were Hispanics there and there were other people there from different walks of life. I don't care if you're purple. Just be freaking cool, right? And diversity is not a strength anyway, you know. But my point is, you know, to the naysayers, people, you always hear about these big events that have all these problems, right? And that was a nice crowd. Everyone had a good time and went home. That's how America should be. You go to something, a concert or an event, you have a good time. You go back in your car intact. There's no bullet holes in you or your car, and you go home to your nice house. That's how it should be. That's how life was in the 80s, why I like the 80s. It was really before all this New World Order crap was starting to burst and effervesce in the world. It was pre-COVID, pre-globalism. We had Ronnie Reagan in charge. I'm not saying he was Mr. Conservative, but he kept a steady hand at the helm, wouldn't you say?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, those days were absolutely fantastic. I mean, I'm sure you know where DeSoto, Texas is, okay? I graduated from high school in 83 from DeSoto High School.
Okay.
And back when I graduated, there might have been 3 black people in the entire high school system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3, and you count them on one hand. Right. And now you go out there and look at the place right now, you got to have armed cops walking the hallways. Yeah, armed cops.
I mean,
that was,
oh, yeah.
We never even thought of that back then, back in the day.
Well, here's the little rub that they don't tell you. The reason why, see, when you and I were coming up, I was a kid back then, basically, and there were no armed deputies in the schools, no talk or national debate of arming teachers. I call those symptoms of a bigger problem. What they're not really telling you, Mr. and Mrs. America, is the reason why we're having this debate to begin with is because of too much immigration to our nation. The last 30, 40 years since the 80s, that's why I love going to that show last night. This is the perfect segue into all kinds of cool angles I can take the show on tonight. Because we never had all those issues because we were still predominantly white European nation. Now, the last 40 years, we've seen huge influxes of the third world into America who don't want to assimilate. They spit on our flag. They spit on our culture. They say everyone's a racist. Yet they have their hand out, and you are good enough, Mr. America, to give them money, give them tax money, but that's as far as they want that relationship. So my point is that's why these people are not, you know, they are going to ruin us from within, rot America to its core, bring America to its knees, because we're bringing in way too many people. Now, back in the 80s, our immigration was far more under control. Now it's out of control. Anybody that tells me otherwise, I just tell them, what are you smoking? It must be good. You are delusional. They are coming in by the millions, and nobody is stopping it yet. That's why we need armed cops in schools and arming teachers and things like that.
You know, it kind of, if you remember back during the, I call it blowjob Clinton days, okay? Remember he gave a speech somewhere, and he said, I can't wait to see, speaking up to the crowd until I see a sea of brown.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
That's what they want. I remember that quote.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly what they want. I want a sea of brown, so that way they can all vote Democrat and we can control them like little slaves. Guess what's happening today?
That's right. They knew back then that the white European man in this country is not going along with their program. And that's why Biden came out again last night with this speech. Let's segue into that. They are calling the white European man and woman, you are domestic terrorists. You are the problem. You are not kowtowing to us. We want you to shut the F up and get in line. And we want, you know, you're just not taking orders. And we're telling them to screw you. We don't want to go along with your program. And if you want the guns, we'll come and take them. We'll see what happens then.
We'll see who comes out
Just tell them, let's just cut to the chase. We're tired of hearing your threats. Just start going door to door and just do it, man. Just do it. Stop your effing talk. I'm tired of hearing about them that we're going to take your AR. Just start taking AR-15s. I want you to do. I really, really do. I think it's high time that they just start doing it and stop being pussies up there in the government and talking about it. Why don't you do it? Why don't you get some balls and do it? Well, don't come crying to me when you have to duck and cover, because stop talking and I want to see more action on their part. So come on. It's American people are not afraid of you guys at all. They are not afraid. And actually, they're just lying in wait. So all this talk about, we're going to do this to you. Well, then just do it. That's what I tell. I call them out, man. I say, you know what? I just shrug and go, we're ready. You do, man, do your thing, man. Do your thing. And let's just see what happens. You make the first move. But again, don't come out. Don't come crying to me when things don't go their way.
Sure, really.
Because they will ignite a hornet's nest.
Well,
they think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding.
But they're scared of that because look at all the sheriffs that are in all throughout the country. And most of them are pro-gun. Okay. Absolutely pro-gun. And there's a lot of sheriffs that said, oh, that ain't going to happen here. Like our governor here in Texas, you know, Greg Abbott, made Texas one of the most friendliest gun states in the entire nation. You think that crap's going to be what would happen here in Texas? No way. No way. Absolutely no way. So, you know, but there's a lot of stupid people out there that would go along with it, like in New York or Chicago or L.A. or, you know, something like that. But
we'll let them go along with it. Yeah, when they get into the real country off that the power corridor of the Beltway of New York and D.C., you get out here in the real country and try that crap. That's what I want to see. Excuse me. I want to see that go on. I want to see them just start knocking on doors, like they keep saying. We're gonna start knocking on some fucking doors. That's what I want to see, damn it. And I want to see them do it. I say put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. If you're not going to do it, you know, because the American people are not going to stand down for that. I can guarantee you that.
There'll be a civil war. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. But, you know, did you hear the good news about Hanoi Jane? You read the article there?
Well, yeah, she got cancer. You know, I don't wish that on anybody, but I would say that, you know, I do believe in the concept of karma. It couldn't have happened to a better person. I'm being sarcastic there, but Let me tell you about Hanoi Jane. My father was in Vietnam, called in the airstrikes on the communist bastards against our infantry. He was in the U.S. Air Force. He was very good at what he did, air weapons control officer. And he told me the story, and I've seen it many, many times, where Jane Fonda went to several POW camps in North Vietnam, okay? And our POWs thought she was, you know, being an American, she would help them. Well, they scribbled on a piece of paper, like, "My name is John Smith. Please let my family know I'm alive and I'm being tortured daily," or something like that. Well, she picked up all the little bits and pieces of paper, you know, and when they would shake her hand, they would put it in the palm of her hand. And when she left the camp, she gave it to the North Vietnamese communist colonel who ran the torture base. And those guys said that when Jane Fonda left, they were tortured for a couple of months, day in and day out, because of that stunt that they pulled. It wasn't a stunt. They were trying to get out of there. But they thought they could trust, guys, you can't trust a woman anywhere, can you? And Jane Fonda is not a good woman. Communist sympathizer is what she is. And she gave it to them, and she got a lot of our guys killed and maimed. And to me, this is God's vengeance. She deserves every bit of this, every bit of it. And she will, I believe, she'll be racked in pain for all the pain she caused our POWs. She will be tortured by that disease all the way through, because she put a lot of our guys through hell. And she's a rat bastard as far as I am concerned. And like the Joker said, they'll get what they effing deserve, right? Now, a lot of people don't know this, but in Vietnam, the GIs actually had a hit on her, and they were trying to bump her off. My dad told me that. So they were trying to mafioso style, whack her, and nobody could get a shot at her from what the stories that I've heard from two or three veterans who corroborated that. They said, yep, there was the first one that got her was there's some kind of a cash prize. Now, that was hush-hush, and you never heard that in the American media, but the journalists over there heard it, and they never reported on it because they wanted to protect their little darling, Jane Fonda. But the GIs were gunning for her. And that's why they had to whisk her out of a few places very, very quickly. They got intel that that people were, you know, ready to do something. It is a war zone, after all. Now, there are a lot of accidental ricocheted bullets, God forbid, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah.
And she never went back to Vietnam, if you noticed, too. She was told in Hollywood, you go back, you'll be a dead woman. Because right now, your name is mud over there. You go back there, honey. We cannot guarantee, when she was told we cannot guarantee your personal safety, she stayed in L.A. Like the dumb bitch she is.
Yes, you're right. Wow.
And that's the truth. Now, I don't, of course, on my show, we're a law-abiding show. We would never condone such a thing like that. Now would we? However, I always say there are accidents in war. And things happen in war. That's why they say war is hell, right? Because you never know what's going to happen until it happens. Tell that to JFK. Jane Fonda the communist. Jane Fonda the communist. That should be on her headstone. I will say, I give credit where credit's due. She's a pretty good actress, and I've seen a few of her movies, but I can't stand her. She's a traitor to America, traitor to my nation. Try to get my dad killed, other of our servicemen killed over there, and women. And she's a traitor. There's no sympathy for my show.
Like I said, the gates of hell are open for her. No doubt about it.
Oh, they'll have some fun with her.
Yeah. I have no respect for people like that, because they, if they did it by mistake, I could see it, but that was premeditated. She knew what she was doing. You know that. It's like everything else. Under these people that they think, and then they do it. Okay, it's not, no mistake. No, that's a long way from mistake.
Well, there's videos you can see on YouTube of Jane Fonda on the anti-aircraft helping. She would get intel from our Air Force bases, and she would give it to the North Vietnamese officers running the POW camp of where our sorties were going to fly. Oh, yeah. And where to place our anti-aircraft guns. And there's pictures of her with a North Vietnamese helmet on in front of their aircraft guns. She was a propaganda piece for the communists, a morale booster for their troops, not our troops. No, she deserves everything she gets, and then some.
Like I said, I have no respect for people like them. Exactly what they were doing, and that's exactly what they get. So, congrats on your cancer diagnosis. You deserve it. Could happen to a better person.
That's why I say you can't have it. It couldn't have happened to a better person. Is my that's how I phrase things. I'm trying to be a diplomat here, but sometimes the gloves, they will come off, and I'll tell you straight to her face, you are a effing traitor to this nation. We'll spit on your grave, baby. And you're a communist. You're a Marxist, and that's that. And you have to own that. And she's never disavowed her activities in North Vietnam during the war. You don't go overseas to a theater of war and then parade around in front of the enemy troops, okay? And like I said, she never went back to North Vietnam because she was told they cannot guarantee your personal safety. There's a hit out for you by the troops. And somebody, some Marine Corps sniper, or someone's going to get you. And they're going to say it was a stray bullet. So you better stay right here in Hollywood and make your movies and shut the fuck up. And that's what she did. And they put the fear of God in her. Well, that's that, man. That's what happens. The bigger they are, gunslinger, the bigger they fall. Hey, man, have a good night.
Eddie, you too.
You're kind of breaking up there. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon. Gunslinger from Texas, holding down the fort. Well, this is a family show. I kind of kid around about that. This is really a show for adults. If your kids are there, once in a while you got to hold their ears. I'm just very passionate. I do believe in well-placed profanity, though we're not a show that's just constant profanity or innuendo. But there are some adult situations on the show. There is some sexual innuendo and some profanity from time to time. That's life 101. Deal with it. Well, the equal opportunity offender, never forget that. Get a beverage. Strap in. We got more of the show to go on. We'll be right back. I guarantee it. But Joe Biden says that he is trying to save the soul of America. I don't think so. I think he's trying to crush America's soul. And we all smell a rat. And we know who he represents and what he is. No one's coming to save us, America. Never forget that.
I'm
Oh, yeah. It's by the Allies. I'll sell my soul. Well, you can't sell anything that's not yours to begin with. Never forget that. Looks like Contra Radio cannot make it tonight. If he's out there, call him to the show. But maybe he couldn't make it. Things come up in radio all the time. But getting back to the 80s concert, yeah, I love the 80s. Great music. It was fun, upbeat, positive. It wasn't all doom and gloom. Wasn't all negative and nasty. And it was just like, it was fun music. Made you want to get up in the morning, go to school, go to work, have fun. It was all about having fun. Luckily, we had some fairly okay leaders in charge that kept things at bay, so the American people didn't have to really immerse themselves in constant politics. And we also didn't have a school shooting every week. We didn't have all this crap that we have. There's a lot of demonic forces that have come over the entire world, in my view, in many, many countries. In the last 40 years, we've had the breakdown of the family. We've had the breakdown of religion. People don't believe in God anymore. There's a lot of people who the family's been torn apart. It's not about the guns. It's about the people behind the gun. We've had this globalism being ushered in, all this craziness, this global reset, New World Order crap that's coming up. And I think people back in the – it was just a simpler time. Yeah, life was tough at times. It was challenging, complicated, as it always is, but nothing like today. So today, in my book, you as a man or a woman, especially if you're young, if you don't have the – how should I put it? The mental stamina and fortitude of a guy like me who's been around the barn a few times, but still young. My thing is I can see the decades and I know what the country used to look like, how it used to feel, how the people used to be. The people have dramatically changed in America. In many cities of this country, so-called country, it's a Tower of Babel. It's biblical, a Tower of Babel. You'll hear multiple languages, multiple dialects, people that aren't from here. They were dumped here, flown in at midnight by Biden or Obama, bussed in from all over the world. They walked over our border. No controls at all. We're this hodgepodge, this mishmash. That doesn't bode well. At the same time, they've taken God out of everything. People don't know what they believe. And then when times get tough, when they lose their job or if they're having problems at home, they lash out. We had a guy just a few weeks ago lashed out here. He had an AK-47 here in North Phoenix, made national news. Some young guy was in a Days Inn. I guess he was about to get evicted from the Days Inn. And I don't think he was working. That's the first clue. Guy went nuts, shot up the parking lot, and killed himself. So at least the cops didn't have to kill him. But my point is he killed about three people, sprayed about 100 bullets everywhere. You can look it up on the news. These things are more common. And we used to hear about these things maybe once every 4 or 5 years, if that, during the 80s. You know, I don't think we ever heard about that. There was no Mandalay Bay. All this stuff has come up in the last 25, 30 years. So my point is, society is sick, and we are the doctors, as you know. Society is very, very sick. It's like America's on life support. So is Canada. So is Europe. All the white Western nations, Australia, New Zealand. We've got that terrible Ardern as their prime minister, president, what have you. My point is that we've lost our way, and America has lost its way. We need to get back. And Trump, to me, was a step in the right direction, though I don't agree with him on everything, as I've told you. But to me, he was positive and upbeat on most things. And he was funny. And he told people where to go. And America likes that fresh political guy that was not from a political dynasty. We have too many dynasties in this country, like the Pelosi's, the Obamas, the Clintons, you know, the Bidens. Oh, my God. If we just can't continue as a nation and have a son or daughter of these dynasties run our country into the ground. But that happens. It's going to be historical. It's going to be biblical. Let me tell you that. Well, while all that's going on, Mississippi is another cautionary tale of a Democrat city. Mississippi's largest city, Jackson, ran out of water indefinitely. Over 200,000 people are left without drinking water and can't flush their toilets, oh my God, or take showers after floodwaters made Jackson's water treatment plant fail. Now, most people don't know. I'll tell you the rub. They have a black mayor who's a communist slash socialist. He's been the mayor for 7 or 8 years. He has ran that city in the ground. They do every Democrats, if they're white, brown, black, purple, indifferent, I don't care what color they are, they run everything in the ground sooner or later. You've got the white guy, Gavin Newsom of California, hurting that state. So it crosses all boundaries. But my plan, my thing is this guy, Mugabe, whatever his name is, there in Mississippi, hasn't paid any attention to his infrastructure. They ran out of clean, portable drinking water. Again, I told you on my show, get out of the Democrat cities. Get out. Years ago, I was telling you guys to get out of those cities. Move. This is the time to relocate. This is the time to get in position. Yeah, it's Mayor Chokwi Antar Lumumombo. Said the recent Mississippi floodwaters strained the city's water plan. Duh, really? Well, that's a real Sherlock Holmes there. Figured that one out. Unbelievable. Get the hell out of Democrat cities now. And why hasn't Biden deployed FEMA or the American Red Cross to Jackson? We have billions of dollars for Ukraine. We can send out more billions. We have no money for Mississippi. No money for America. They tell you to go screw yourselves. We never have any money for our own people. I'm an America First guy. This is an America First show. It's because Biden and the Democrats and their rhino Republican friends are far too busy giving our billions of tax dollars to Ukraine. They're trying to get us into a nuclear war with Russia, or at least a skirmish with NATO, so they can usher in their Great Reset, their depopulation agenda, and possibly even martial law. Well, if you haven't figured it out yet by now, our entire government is a huge mafia who launders our taxpayer money right back to themselves through foreign aid and endless no-win wars. The elites in power all hate you, care less if you suffer, and die horrible deaths as long as they get rich. It's all about the enrichment of themselves financially and political power. And with that, let's get to the Irish pirate, our tech wizard. And get him on the air here somewhere in his secret Phoenix Valley location. Irish, are you there tonight?
Yes, I'm actually this time, because it's not Thursday, where I'm normally in my North Phoenix compound. This time, I'm actually hiding out in the Cacao Kelly nest, because it seems like some place I
nice.
Can sneak into when I think the show is not going to be on a Friday night. But apparently I've
right.
been caught, and I'm happy to be caught. I'm one of those guys.
Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. I
love
that guy.
It.
So
that's
yeah,
my line, you know.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. I think the single most important thing is what Alex Jones actually pointed out about the setting for Biden telling the United States that we're now going to go at war with the enemy. That's basically what he was doing. Every time you've ever seen that set up, like in a military movie, especially in a sci-fi movie, it's always mm-hmm. because they're about ready to make their move on the enemy. And so now, at least according to Alex Jones, which I think is a pretty good estimate, he's saying give us about a month. where they're going to whip up, who knows, 55, 60 scenarios and wait for the best one, the one where we're not covering our back, and say, let's just go with that one, wink, wink, you know, little hooty-hoo at the line. And then all of a sudden, there we go, something's going to happen. And so, unfortunately, we're just going to have to really pick up our sensitivities to, you know, when they used to say something like, if you see something, say something. Now, if you see something, do something. Because, you know, if you call the cops, nothing's going to happen. And if you, for example, call the FBI, they're probably in on it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a little resourceful. I mean, unfortunately, I think that's what they're going to be testing it for. Because you're not allowed to go to war with them. So maybe there's a way somehow, if you can see it happening fast enough, maybe you can, like, discombobulate it, make them shoot each other or something. I don't know.
Sure.
But, yeah, something's going to have to – if you see something going down, you know these guys so far when they've made their executions, just like the vice president of Argentina just got shot. Oops, the gun didn't go off. That guy didn't last too long.
That's right.
And unfortunately –
the VP, she got very, very lucky. The guy pulled the gun trigger twice, never went off.
Yeah, last couple of times I went out, I mean, the gun that I had, I didn't like it. It jammed too often. The first shot I always got off, though. That's the irony.
Mm-hmm.
If I loaded the darn thing, it'll work right the first time. It's after that, if I'm asking for a bunch of bullets very quickly, yeah, who knows, it might jam. And you have to keep going through these unjamming drills. I'm going like, why doesn't somebody just make a better gun? So I have tried a few, and I have learned which ones I like, and you can best rest assured that I'm going to make sure there's going to be something of that make somewhere around my abode. But, yeah, when you're out and about and something's going on, just know these people think they have it all thought out, but they get caught time and time and time again trying to pull stunts on the American people. We caught them badly at Sandy Hook. That's the reason they have to grill Alex Jones and not put anything on the table, because the videotape shows the opposite. They can't talk about Adam Lanza. In fact, we talked about that on this show. There were lawyers literally saying, who is Adam Lanza? Who is this
guy
they're talking about? They didn't know he was the shooter, or shall we say, alleged shooter, because he couldn't possibly, at 120 pounds, carry that much ammo. I mean, there's a lot of...
Right.
And then Wolfgang W. Halbig was the guy that actually was 35 years top security guy. He got angry because of what happened at Sandy Hook, and nobody took responsibility for it. So he went up there himself and asked 16 questions to the school board, which they denied to answer a single one. And after that, the media made him, let's just say, their little love child after that. So now if you look at anything with him online, he looks like a drunk, someone who terrorized children is what they put up there. I mean, it's hilarious. He was a principal for, whatever, 15 years? Yeah, maybe more? I mean, he must really hate kids. Yeah. And so it's amazing how these narratives are coming out of this. Well, guess what? All this changing of history won't change the fact that the Democrats or whoever, the deep state, decides to put on the next fake whatever. It's not going to work, guys. You got no practice. Thugs go out with their gun.
Irish,
they just commit crimes.
Do you think
with
a false flag? Do you think, Irish, a false flag is coming?
I know a false flag is coming. Yeah, it has to. They just basically set the stage to try and say it wasn't us, even though they just said, we're going to do it. And this is classic. This is classic.
That's what I'm saying.
In history.
They've already set the stage. Biden came out and gave out the speech. This is what's going to happen. Then he leaves the stage. Now it's time for Act 2. Act number 2 is the false flag operation. And they'll blame MAGA
for
that.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm saying it'll be, I don't want to say this. There are people in America right now that are shivering in their boots because they think it's going to happen right in front of them. The answer is, should you be so lucky? If you have your eyes open, you may not even be armed at the time, but you may see something go down. And if you could just mess it up so that these people trip over their own face pulling it off, You don't have to be there when it goes down. Let's say you see somebody piling up a bunch of bricks. I know what I'd be doing to that pile of bricks.
Exactly. Well, they've been known to dump those off at all those Democrat towns and cities.
Yeah.
Piles of bricks get dumped overnight. Right.
Well, the point where I was going was, if there's a thug on a city street performing crime for getting paid, if that's how he's making a living, here's the problem. They don't go out and practice safety. They don't go out and practice new and exciting ways to kill you. They do the one stupid thing they've been doing over and over and over again. And if you stop it once, all they're going to do is keep doubling down the same thing because that's all they know. Whereas people like you and I,
right,
self-defense is the opposite. It's an awareness of what's going on around you. And of that, I can count on the American people that actually have gone out. Because earlier in the show, somebody was calling you out, basically, or other people, other Americans, and saying, oh, everybody with a gun is going to be a chicken, that they're not actually going to do anything. The answer is, I'd rather die with it than without it, if that's the way it's going to be. I'd rather make my statement if that's
absolutely
the way it's going to go. So the hilarious
absolutely
part is, no. Yeah, you think we're all cowering in our homes thinking, we don't want this to happen. We don't want to catch the bad guys starting World War IV or whatever it is that's going to come down the line. The answer
mm-hmm
is, hey, if I just happen to be there and my chances of survival would be near nil if I don't do something, I would like to do something. If that's the difference, if I can make that difference,
right,
they're going to have a bad day that day. I'm going to try to come up with something. I have taught enough kids how to play chess, which is a virtual board with ideas coming up, all sorts of, kids throw anything at each other. And so I've seen that. I'm a poker player. I actually get off throwing rocks and things like that. At my age, I have no business having a 75-mile-an-hour fastball, and I do. I guess
Irish,
I do.
Did you watch Biden's speech
thing
last night? Have you seen the speech?
I've seen the mashups. I've seen the mashups of it, yes.
Gotcha.
What
did you think about that?
The whole thing start to finish. Like I said, the setting is a giveaway. The fact that Biden has no idea what he's talking about is a giveaway. Several times
right
he has to mention, now in any speech, I really mean this. You can believe me. You can tell it's me. It's like, yeah, that's why we all don't believe you. That's why we don't believe anything you say. The problem is the people behind you got you to say that, and we're afraid of them, not you. We're not afraid of what you might tell somebody in, some deep state project. We're worried about the person that told you to say one thing so they could do another. Yeah, we know for a fact that if you open your mouth, it's because that's something they want us to believe or to actually be afraid of.
Right.
And I'm saying the best thing in the world I can do is make this situation, instead of a democracy, I'm going to say with Joe Biden in charge, this country is now a panarchy. I don't know if you know what that is. That's where the king comes out and says, this is what we're going to do. And then everybody else, knowing the king is off his rocker, just ignores him and does the right thing. That's a panarchy.
Right.
And every chess organization I've been in since I got out of the military is a panarchy. Seriously. Or at least was. That may not be
mm-hmm
true. Where the owner just died recently, that they may actually be able to do the right thing and have been since that time.
Right.
But the important thing is this. Joe Biden has been ordered to act like he's in charge, and we all know that he's not. And so we just ignore him and just basically do what we're going to do anyway at this point. We're just scared to death of why he keeps being told all these strange things. And, of course, with every opportunity, they're trying to raise the level of what he's allowed to do without a back check so that they can install somebody else, which is the most common thing. And it won't be Kamala Harris either. And so the cast of characters that might step in off of that is what really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine
right
who they might try to install, because you've got two puppets basically in the White House, absolutely replaceable. And they can decide whether or not they want to make the gears a little tighter and actually make them have some sort of traction, or just put up another puppet or two. They could do it either way. Whereas if you're dealing with a Republican-style nation, you start dealing with it was on the Charlie Kirk show this afternoon. Charlie Kirk actually mentioned that – oh, no, it wasn't Charlie Kirk. It was J.D. Hayworth filling in for Liebson. J.D. Hayworth said, do you realize that Ronald Reagan was reelected with 49 states victory out of 50? 49 states voted for Reagan, including also District of Columbia.
That's right.
He says that's right. That'll be the dead last time that ever happens. But it happened. And so, yes.
Reagan was hugely popular.
Listening.
Yeah, Reagan, folks, if you don't know the 80s, he was extremely popular. And he kept the country going. Everybody had work. There was money flowing. He wasn't perfect. I don't like his amnesty bill and things like that. But you'll never get a president in a democracy, put it that way. You know.
Yeah, I saw that through the way that he handled at the time in 1980. I was 16, and I saw what he did to the communication spectrum because I was listening to radio a lot during that time. I was living in Wyoming, got out on weekends, but not much else time. And so I spent a lot of time listening to what was going on out there on a tube radio that could do it, with a 2-foot copper coil in the back. So I used the tricks of that trade. I mean, I was listening to Saskatchewan last night at work. And just had a 20 watt station in Kansas is making it in. So I'm catching.
Yeah, yeah, I got your text on all that. Good
okay,
stuff,
so
Irish. Good
is,
stuff, man.
Well, Reagan messed with all that. He made it harder. He made it worse. He made it so that it was that the legends of families used to be able to get home and listen to the AM radio for those really cool broadcasts of yesteryear. And we know, some of those are still old-time radio. And that reminds me, KFNX picked up the old-time radio, but KFNX also dropped Alex Jones this week, I believe.
Right.
He's
right.
Done. And that's where I draw the line in the sand. I look at their programming now, and it's CBS this, CBS that. It's like you guys have completely gone sellout. You guys have completely gone corporate. And I'm not so happy with that. Not much I can do about it. It's Mr. Brady's station. But it was better when it had on people like J.D. Smalis, some woman who was totally interested in your health that couldn't talk at all. I mean, these people were honest. The stuff that's
right
on there now
exactly
is completely a joke. Yeah, I mean, I can't listen to that stuff anymore. I'm going more and more to the internet. I'm going more and more to as far away as I can listen to something else because the corporate stuff is just no good. And I'm sad for that.
And you know what?
America was raised on radio.
It was. And you're right about that, Irish. And like I tell people, we're in the chat room here, folks. If you're at home, go to the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. Reagan was far from perfect, but I tell people that, back when he won in 1980, don't forget that was 10 years, only a measly 10 years after the wild 1960s and Woodstock era. So you got to look at these guys in the vein and the era in which they lived and came up through politics. Reagan was the governor of California in the 60s when they were having all the campus riots and protests, the flower children, right? I mean,
I was young.
He kept
I was
that
there.
State from breaking apart and blowing up. He sent in the cops and quelled Lyle's protests. Again, the word conservative back then, if you weren't a hippie, a grown-up hippie in 78, 79, 80, when Reagan was coming up, and you saw Reagan, that short, slicked-back hair with the brown conservative suit, he was like a Nazi to you if you were a hippie guy. And he's talking about limited government and cutting back welfare, a strong defense, strong American foreign policy. Yeah, he was, in that mindset, that guy Reagan was like anathema to those people. He was like the Antichrist. You know,
before he was governor, he was a play-by-play guy, doing the stuff at night, actually replaying games because he wasn't there live. He had all the stats and everything, and
right.
then he was making the show of it. Okay, he was lying about some of the things he was doing, and people knew that. But number one, it didn't matter because they were being entertained. Number two, the score was at least correct, you know, that kind of thing. And so some people just said, well, he's just an entertainer. Well, unfortunately, I wish the people that were in politics now were just entertainers. I wish they didn't have these weird ideas, because Reagan might have been weird in some ways, but let's be honest. His kind of weird, he was trying to set you free. He really, really, really wanted you to be able to do your
own
thing.
That's right, and people felt that. And, yeah, there's talk of him signing the first abortion bill, and there were some things about that, and amnesty, and, Mexicans were pouring into California in the 80s. Nothing like now, nothing. But they were coming through. Remember, it made national news quite often back then. And it was a problem. It's been a problem in this country for – we've let in so many people the last 50 years that never came in this country legally. I'd say really 40, 50 million people just walked in or came in on a flight, threw away their visa, changed their name, at least 50 million Americans, so-called Americans, right?
Sure.
So –
sure.
It's been a systemic problem for decades. You know,
and,
crazy.
And like I was saying, it's never gone back to that. That was the whole plan. The left was just taking up the slack as much as possible and moving forward with that. And I say, remember, for example, the first thing that Reagan did that you and I would consider wrong was an abortion bill. And what's the first thing God banned in the Bible? Human sacrifice.
Right.
I don't see any. Yeah, I think everything goes in order. I think that he literally knew what it was that we would do if we turned our back on him. And he said, please don't do it. But if you do, it's like, I'll just make sure the punishments are available. It's your choice, not mine.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel about all that. It's like, let's see. We put evolution in schools in 1959 for the first time. In 1963, the unwed mothers tripled. They started acting like animals,
right.
behaving like
animals. Well,
that's
animals. What I was saying. There were, like, right. You're making my point for me, and you're spot on, Irish, is that these problems in our country were in our country before Reagan ever became the president, folks. We had these problems back in the, 1965,
yeah.
the Hart-Celler Act, 1950s. Now, Eisenhower was the first one who expunged a lot of the so-called migrants by force. But you could only do that in that era of the 1950s after World War II. It was still the boot and the bayonet, right? And he also used it, and he and Kennedy used that down there in Little Rock, Arkansas, too. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but my thing is Reagan inherited a country that was sort of drifting. He tried to right the ship as best he could. And as president, you are limited. You don't have unlimited powers, folks. You can only do so much. Trump found that out. Biden's finding that out. Right.
So many of the basics.
Things are already in play.
What should be our government, our leadership. But we're supposed to be leading the government anyway, which I'll get into later on. But anytime you get in a world war, we talk about this. You change all the things that were making money and you have them make tanks and bullets and things like that. Most of that gets left elsewhere. Assuming you're not fighting on your own shores. Thank God we're not yet. Anyway. So all that money goes to waste for the most part. And so since you have to borrow to set up your factories to make war, that means you can't pay it back. You go bankrupt on the spot. I'm sorry. I don't know of any country that went to war that they themselves that actually were in charge of the factories didn't go bankrupt. And so you have
a
problem. We did it twice. I mean, we did it the first time and it made us bankrupt. When we couldn't afford it, they made us do
that's
it the second
right.
time. So that they could put in things like the League of Nations and stuff like that. They were not caring who makes
that's
the
right.
laws, if you know what I mean. So you got all that
war
going on.
Profiteers are only at the top of the. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and now that's the war part.
War, Right. The war profiteers are people that basically can get that. They make money at the top, and they basically, it doesn't disseminate down to us at this level at all. And that's where we're at.
As long as we use that inverted, as long as we use that inverted power pyramid where the people are at the bottom and the government is on top, we're never going to fix this. It has to be the people on top and the government like on the bottom, like it was in 1776. Otherwise, it's just not going to fly. And we don't know that. We're all electing a president thinking he's above us. And instead, he should be the ultimate guy that we hired. We should be proud of the guy we hired. We can't be. These guys are idiots. Normally we just toss them out until we get a better one. Keep firing them until we get – I'm waiting for that to happen. But in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with one more idea. That is this. Remember what we talked about is the first virus was actually created in 1917. That's Abraham Flexner, and he's directly working for the Kissingers and all those guys, right? He was directly working for all those families. And so he invented a virus in 1917. Jonas Salk, 1954, invented the idea that a needle would do a better job as a vaccine instigator. None of this is true. They've been lying since forever. And so it doesn't matter whether it's economics, war, medicine, whatever. It's all been usurped because of what I just told you, that power triangle. You need to be on top of yours. You need to be able to be nowadays, be able to be as independent from your government as you need to be on anything that you control. You can't control everything, I understand. But for example, wouldn't it be nice if you could grow your own food right now? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a trade where you could trade stuff to get stuff to be able to set your household up so you didn't need it? Imagine if you had your own little mini power plant right now. If you're that independent right now, would you be worried about whether or not Biden decides to, go cornholio in front of the United States like he just did?
Right,
no.
Exactly.
We'd laugh at him just like I'm doing now, except for I swallow afterwards going like, but who's going to stop him? That's
right.
The problem we have, that inverted power triangle. So anyway, I'm going to leave it with that. America, you need to be more independent, because if you're not now, they're just going to take it from you. They're going to use whatever you can't supply for yourself, do it for yourself. They're going to use it against you now, whether you like it or not. And that's what I have to tell America.
I like that, Irish. Irish, great call, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great night. It's our tech wizard, Irish Pirate, folks. Some good points there, a good call. Fantastic, in fact. We always have some lively discussions and conjecture with the pirate. And we'll get to Lincoln next in Flyover Country. But before that, we'll go back into the time capsule of America. And, we'll hear how things really were on the Vietnamese front when Jane Fonda was there. Sounds like this.
Got shot. Some they buried alive.
Right, Colonel.
Marine, what is that button on your body armor?
A peace symbol, sir.
Where'd you get it?
I don't remember, sir.
What is that you've got written on your helmet?
Born to kill, sir.
You write born to kill on your helmet and you wear a peace button. What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke?
No, sir.
What is it supposed to mean?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know very much, do you?
No, sir.
You better get your head and your ass wired together, or I will take a giant shit on you.
Yes, sir.
Now answer my question, or you'll be standing tall before the man.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
The what?
The duality of man, the Jungian thing, sir.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir.
Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
Then how about getting with the program? Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Yes, sir.
Son, all I've ever asked of my Marines is for them to obey my orders as they would the word of God. We are here to help the Vietnamese because inside every gook, there is an American trying to get out. It's a hardball world, son. We've got to try to keep our heads until this peace craze blows over.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now that was how the Vietnam War was fought. Vietnam, and you could flash forward to Grenada in the 80s in Nicaragua, and we had the Sandinistas down there, the communist insurgents. And by the way, they're making one hell of a comeback. The Marxists are in Nicaragua once again. Venezuela. Now, there are Russian troops now in Central America and the Venezuela socialist utopian paradise. A man wrote the show, and he said that he feels that Cuba will come into play in his dreams and visions, that there are Russians and that bad things will come from Cuba to America. Interesting about them. Of course, back in the 1960s, that was the Bay of Pigs fiasco invasion. A lot of things are out there. The war is hell, as they say. And war is not for the faint of heart. Well, you know, you've all seen maybe that great war movie, Full Metal Jacket. Well, it sounds like this. Back then, there was no diversity, really. There was no diversity class. There was no sensitivity classes. They just sort of said it as it came out of their head and their mind and their mouth. There were no filters, and, well, they just said what was on their mind. That's how the Army was ran, the Marine Corps, Air Force and Navy, Coast Guard, etc. And it sounds a little bit like this back in the day. When America had a real military and we actually tried to win some wars, unlike now where they're all political for money, for profit. And the little people never get the money, as I said before. It's only the people at the top of the pyramid that me and Irish were talking about. Well, let's hope that if America goes to war again, we are successful. But I say stay out of wars. They are not very cost-effective in blood.
Where the hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas. Only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are puke. You are the lowest form of life on Earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, dykes, wasps, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved guard. Do you maggots understand that?
Was the great, late great James Lee Army. Now, on my show, we are the Equal Opportunity Offender. If you have sensitive, delicate ear, you should never listen to the Von Wien Show. We only want survival of the fittest on my show. Lean means ready to rock and roll, ready to jam. But yeah, this show is not for everybody. I always tell folks we're not trying to ingratiate ourselves to people that don't like the show or they don't have a propensity to like the show. We're not trying to be, in other words, the biggest show. Like most shows go, I'm a Rhino Talk show, they'll say. I want the biggest audience possible, and I'll kowtow to everyone. I'll lick everyone's boots to get there. That's how your average – now, they may make it. Their methodology, I get it. They want to be the biggest tent in the, on the block. However, their tents filled with miscreants, mongrels, cretins, all kind of degenerates, and I don't want that kind of a tent. So now they may make it in the financial world, where my show is a fledgling show, but yeah, while they may make it in the financial world, I'm a far more powerful show. We are far more powerful. We're in the undertow of America, and you are my Germanic wolves all over the country. We're extremely powerful. Our message gets into the ether, gets into the cosmos. We broadcast our message all over the world. We're not trying to kowtow to a program director or a radio station owner who's going to nitpick every word I say and try to censor it. This is not that kind of a show or program. Never was, never will be. Damn the torpedoes. Full speed ahead is my motto. How about those apples, America? We'll get to the Lincoln here in flyover country here in a minute. We always have like to hear from the hinterlands of America. Well, let's take a look at where we're at right now. You've heard some good shows and some good calls tonight. And we try to have a good show every single week. But like I always say, to reiterate, we're just trying to be the best radio show, not the biggest. There's that distinction I need to make. The best does not mean the biggest or the best show. Well, we know that there's all kinds of Bolshevik scum in our government on the streets of America. It's so bad, I told a guy, it's almost laughable at this point in the historical timeline of America. The founding fathers went to the New World to get away from many people in Europe who were annoying, who were bothering them. And they warned us about this current situation we find ourselves in 2022 AD. America is in denial. It is now the fabled whore of Babylon and a Tower of Babel with multiple languages and dialects and races and colors and creeds and the proverbial, quote, melting pot of America. We are truly on our own, and no one is ever coming to save us. Now, just know this. The founding fathers never used the phrase melting pot. That is crap that came about mid part of last century, written by some New York journalists. America was not started as a melting pot, like for some Hungarian goulash. Some mongrel goulash. They're going to slap on everyone's plate like porridge. And you'll say, please, sir, may I have another? Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Sire. We're not subjects of the British king. We are citizens, like Roman citizens of the Roman Empire. Our government was, the architecture in D.C. was patterned after the Parthenon of Greece, Greek and Roman type law. But now we've got a lot of the Admiralty law with the gold fringe in our flag, and that's a whole other can of worms we'll get into later. We want America to be better. What you hear on the show is you hear some critiquing, but we want the country to be better. We want better leaders, a better nation, better people. We don't want to, we see the trajectory of America and we don't like it. We're trying to stop it. We're trying to wake America up. Now, we are awake on this show, but I can't say the same for the rest of the nation. But slowly but surely, I think they're getting there. And it does take a lot of work to get these things going and to get people basically to wake up, smell the coffee, you know?
We'll be right back. from Flyover Country. Get on the air here. We'll talk about what's happening and the news of the day out there in Middle America. How's it going, Lincoln?
What's going on,
how
brother?
You doing, man?
How you doing tonight?
Good, brother. Good, man. Good. Having a good show tonight, and I know you've been busy in Telegram and with your groups and whatnot, and what have you been up to, man?
Well, really, not a whole lot. I mean, it's like you said, I spend a lot of my free time, which I have less and less of all the time, I find, on Telegram. I like Gab. It's just, you know, it's free speech, but it's just not nearly as user friendly or has the options and things like that that Telegram does. But I like Gab. I'll give Andrew Torba credit. I mean, it really is a free speech platform. As long as you don't post anything illegal, it literally is free speech. It's the most free speech platform there is, that and Telegram.
I totally agree. It's one thing to get about Torba, man. Gab is about the only place where I can post what I want without being censored, you know? And in your group, too, on Telegram is great, talking about things. What did you think about Biden's speech, man?
Oh, let me tell you that. Well, of course. Okay.
That's a loaded question, right?
It's a loaded question. I don't know what I find more stupid. I don't know which one I find more stupid. This is something we got to discuss here. Let's talk about this. Because I'm confused. I don't know which one I find more stupid and ridiculous. Biden's speech itself, or the fact that last night Tucker Carlson goes on air to say that the colors that we use, the red and the black, is proof that Joe Biden and the Democrats are Nazis.
Crazy.
I don't know which one I find stupider. I don't know which one
I
agree
find with
more
you.
Stupid.
I totally agree with you. I heard that too when he said what? Red and black? I mean, yeah, see, that to me is Tucker, that he's trying to virtue signal to say, I'm not a Nazi. See, I'm cool. Biden's a Nazi. I mean, it's this constant game that they keep playing in the national media. And he is national media. I'm not. We broadcast nationwide. He's what I call, if you make it like Tucker Carlson, he's got a great show. He's got a great product. But I still think sometimes those guys are a little insecure and they come out with these stupid comments to let everyone know that we're okay. Those other people over there you should worry about. Crazy. It was stupid, man.
You know, I don't know which one was stupider or more stupid. I don't know which one was more stupid, the Biden speech or Tucker Carlson, and not just him, but all the others as well, jumping on board with that, making those claims. You know, I watched every single Tucker Carlson, and it's funny. We have a running joke in my Telegram chat. You know, there'll be one night where and I'm calling him Tucker now, because there'll be one night we'll have a good show. It's good. He'll talk about demographic replacement. He'll talk about crime, minority crime, quote minority, because we're the real minorities worldwide. And, you know, we're the real minorities
worldwide. We are.
He'll talk about their crime, the black crime rate. He'll talk about things, and we'll give him a pass and talk and call him Tucker for a day. And then he'll say stupid shit like that, and then we label him Tucker, and then he's Tucker until he redeems himself.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, look, he's got people that listen to shows like mine, and they pour through. I'm telling you, they have staffs of people that will pour through articles, blogs, podcasts, and they run searches on anybody mentioning the name Tucker Carlson. Right now I did that. So I will come up on one of their search engines, their software, and they'll say, "What did Von Wien say? But what did his callers say about us in our great show?" Well, if you're listening, Tucker, I love you, man. I want you on the Von Wien show, but sometimes I agree with you. He comes out with these zingers, and I'm going, "Where the hell did that come from?" But don't forget, all the Fox News people do that once in a while. They all live in that New York, D.C. beltway. And it's infectious. And they all date each other. They all send their kids to the same private schools. And it rubs off on them. And I just think that's what it is a lot of the time. They get sucked into that beltway thinking. Even though they might come from outside the beltway with great ideas about demographics and how the nation should be, Tucker, I agree with you, the majority of the time he tries to adhere to that. But sometimes I think they just get sucked into these detours, these bad roads, you know? And they can't get
well,
off it.
Well, you know, well, let's be real here. If we're going to talk about Tucker Carlson for a minute, you know, you can look this up. You can Google it or look it up in any search engine you want or whatever. Go back like 2 years ago. You know, Tucker Carlson likes to go on air and, like all Republicans and quote conservatives, they bitch about cancel culture, how they hate cancel culture. You know, Tucker's always gone about cancel culture. He hates cancel culture because everyone is entitled to free speech. Well, did you know that it was like roughly a year and a half, 2 years ago, he fired one of his main show writers because that writer had a blog which was labeled, quote, white nationalist, and Tucker had him fired from his show? That was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Well,
I heard about that. Yep, he did.
And people losing their jobs, you know, for simply expressing their opinion. Then he fires one of his people for having a blog which is white nationalist. Well, he's part, you just cancel the guy. So you're part of cancel cultures too while you bitch about it.
I'm telling you, those millions of dollars, and you're right, I agree with you, Lincoln, the millions of dollars, you know, that Tucker earns off Fox News and all these guys that are, you know, if you see them on TV, and if they're what I call up there, they're making millions of dollars a year. And I think that money just, dude, it goes to their head. They make stupid decisions. Now they'll self, actually fire the guy and they ruin his life, right? Then they'll self-correct. And maybe they will do something else and go, well, I didn't really mean that. And he left her. But the bottom line is you still fired him. You wigged out. You were virtue signaling that you're not like that, blah, blah, blah. They're all drinking the Kool-Aid eventually, you know. And over time, you will notice that they're hard edged. They're normally good the first year or two max. And then they start to wane, I've noticed. You know, they start to go down a little bit, and you see more and more and more of that. I hope Tucker can self-correct again. He's got about the best show on Fox. Now, I'll tell you a guy, Jesse Waters, on Fox News. Now, when I first saw that guy, I thought he was just some New York guy that got lucky, some young guy that was under the O'Reilly show. He used to do the Waters World thing. I've been watching his show a little bit in the afternoon. His show is not bad at all. He's been hitting the nail on the head like crazy on his show. So he's like a young Tucker Carlson the way Tucker used to be. And I was surprised. I was not expecting that from Jesse Waters. I thought he was just some pretty boy, New York playboy guy that got lucky. Daddy knew the producer. They gave him a show. Now, he is good. He is talented. You got to be able to speak and enunciate and do well in front of the camera. And he runs that show called The Five with Gutfeld, who I like, Gutfeld. But he's done a good job. But I've been watching him going, this guy has matured, and he's been saying a lot of the good things that we've been talking about on this show. So I'm watching him now to see if it's an act. But I really do believe he believes it. But we'll see. Time will tell, right?
I remember Jesse Waters when he first started, because I used to be an avid fan of Bill O'Reilly back in the day. And that's where Jesse Waters started his career, was like for the Bill O'Reilly show. He would go out and do the Man in the Street segment.
Yeah, Man in the Street segment.
You know,
they were hilarious.
Yeah, they were. Well, he would just basically he would go out and talk to Americans and prove how stupid they are. It was hilarious. You know, like, who did America gain their independence from? And they would say, like,
India.
China?
Yeah, China,
yeah,
India.
Fucking idiot. It was China. Yeah, you're right.
Mexico. It was that bad. But his show has really been hard hitting lately. I'm going, wow, that's Jesse Waters? And I'm going, okay.
I'll take your word.
I mean, I never watched his show until a few weeks ago. I started to watch it maybe a month or so ago, and I'm going, I've seen a lot of good shows from him where he hammers the border, he hammers the immigration, he hammers the demographics. He's not afraid to talk about anything like me, and that's what I like. I'm going, okay.
Oh,
and I haven't heard any.
I bet there's.
At least so far. We'll see how things go.
You won't talk about.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure there is in New York. Now, they can't piss off all of their advertisers. Now, for a while, there was a boycott going against the Ingram show. And they were trying to get her off the air. It wasn't successful. But they got a couple of her big sponsors to leave. I mean, these leftists are out there. And crazy, man. But, yeah, is it when you watch the Tucker show, is he going to be Cucker or Tucker? Only the shadow knows, man. You know?
On my chat, it goes
I agree with
day.
You.
Some days he's Cucker, some days he's Tucker. You know, like, there'll be a segment, because I'll clip his segments. I'll take a certain segment that I think my chat will like, and I'll put it out there, and they're like, okay, he's Tucker for a day again. And then 2 days later, he's like, Joe Biden's a fascist. And we're like, well, he's back to Cucker again.
That black and red looks like it's the Nazi party to me. How stupid comment is that?
He literally said that last night.
I heard that. Yeah, I cringed when I heard that. I went, what the F are you talking about, man? Yeah, I just sort of rolled my eyes and went.
That's the word of the week. That's basically become the word of the last week. You know, for the last week, the biggest thing on all the, whether it be Fox News or whether it be CNN or whatever, you know, it's just one big political punting contest where they're playing a game of football. They just keep punting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they're just having this ridiculous argument. These MAGA Republicans are, like Biden says, they're fascists, they're semi-fascists, they're fascists. And then Republicans respond, Tucker and Ingram and Hannity says, you're the real fascist. And they just keep arguing back and forth over who's the real fascist. And let me be honest with you and tell you point blank, if whoever's listening out there, neither party is fascist at all, unfortunately. Neither one of our political parties could hold the jockstrap of a true party like fascism or the NSDAP. You know, both our parties suck. They're both liberal. Neither party could hold the jockstrap of an actual fascist party. And if you look at the history of fascist countries, Italy under Mussolini, Spain under Francisco Franco for 35 years. Most people think that fascism died when Hitler died in 45, if he died in 45, or when Mussolini died. No, Francisco Franco was a fascist leader until the mid-1970s, and Spain was thrived under him and was extremely happy.
That's right.
The people were happy. They were wealthy. Yep. They were well-fed. They loved their leader. It was great. Most people don't know that because they don't know history. They don't even know where we got our independence from. They're fucking retarded. But they want to talk about history and argue about history. They don't even know about history.
I know. Yeah, Franco ruled Spain for 30-some-odd years, and Americans don't know that. And I remember as a little boy, Franco, I remember when he died. And maybe it was all over the news. Yeah, they hid that. See, there's a lot of hidden history that they don't want Americans to know about successes like Franco. And Franco was very smart to, you know, he successfully navigated his country He assisted the Third Reich, but his country never got bombed to smithereens either. I think he sensed that when America got involved, he said, no, this ain't going to go our way, man. And he said, I will assist the Germans and the Nazis, but I'm not going to, you know, be in their boat or their submarine, so to speak, their U-boat 24-7, because we're going to be a massive target to Allied bombing. So after the war, Spain was largely intact, and most of Europa was bombed to hell. And that's why he had a leg up on the other European countries, because he was able to get his economy up and going again and moving and grooving, you know, and still stay in charge and in power. I'm surprised, actually, the Allies, they actually made a move to try and arrest him, but they never got any attraction after the war, because he was trying to be a neutral country, you know.
He was kind of forced to be. I mean, he wasn't really neutral. He supported the NSDAP. You know, he supported the Axis,
right,
via money.
He helped the Axis, right. He helped him out a lot, right.
But he couldn't really get involved in the war.
He never declared war on England or America. Yeah. But he never declared war is what I'm saying.
He fought civil war in his own country. They literally just finished
right.
the civil war, and that's how he took power. He literally just finished the civil war, and his own country was in ruins. He wasn't able to.
He fought the communists in his own country. Yeah. He fought the communists there.
Division. Oh,
yes.
I mean, he destroyed the communists there. And he did gather the Blue Division and sent the Blue Division to fight with the Germans. You know, they
yes,
were some of
did.
The best fighters that Germany had
oh,
in
sure.
the Blue Division. So he supported them the most he could, but there's only so much the guy can do after he just finishes the Civil War.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what he told Hitler. He said, I've already, my hands are tied here. We've been fighting 10 years here, 10, 15, 20 years, man. Now we're kind of spent for a while. Now there's a world war coming, and we're not equipped to do that. So we'll help you in any way that we can. And there's a lot of newsreels, folks, of Hitler going to Spain, meeting Franco. I've seen the newsreels. They were close allies. But Franco had that war with the communists in his own country. He just said, look, I'm very limited here. My hands are tied pretty much, you know. So they weren't the richest country after that war, you know.
Did you know that during that time period, whenever Hitler was in charge and whatnot, you know, in the heyday, before the war started, when the NSDAP was thriving, the most successful country in the world at the time, you know, like one of the things, and that's where they get the name
that's right.
socialist, that one of the things there was your average worker, no matter if you worked in a factory, you worked building an autobahn, or a farmer, regardless, the German government paid for you a one-week vacation a year to go to Spain and spend a week with your family on
sure.
a beach. That was a reward for being
that's
a
right.
German citizen and a hard worker provider, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a dentist, whether you're building the autobahn, whether you're a ditch digger, you got to
yeah.
go to Spain and spend a week on the beach with your family. And I was like, oh my God, we could never have that because that's socialism. Socialism is terrible. What the hell's wrong with that?
Well, the thing about it, Hitler was right in the National Socialism. Most people don't realize that they only took care of their own people, the German people. I tell people the way that our country, which is so stupid, America views socialism as giving money to the third world, which is not what Hitler was about. When they say, well, he was a socialist, I go, national. The first word is national. In other words, all the money stayed in the nation of Germany. National is your first word. That's your first clue. And he was not at all for giving the German Reichmarks around the world in foreign aid. Or giving billions to countries that they, you know, none of that. That money was earmarked for the German people, right? And that's why in Germany it definitely worked very, very well because the German people were taken care of. Hitler and the Reich never gave money, you know, here's $20 million, Ireland or Bolivia or, you know, whatever. That could be done today, but America thinks socialism is giving, taxing you and me 80%, giving our money to the inner cities in America that are run by Democrat mayors, or worse, well, even twice as bad, giving the money to people who hate us overseas, like Afghanistan, you know, crap like that. That's America's version of socialism. National socialism worked in Germany, and that's why they had to get rid of it, because they didn't need the international bankers. They didn't need the banks, right? They could print their own money. To this day, most Americans don't know that we don't print our own money.
No.
The Federal Reserve prints the money. Yeah, and then they loan it to us with interest, usury. But most Americans don't realize that we don't even print our own money free and clear without any debt attached to it. We've always been a debtor nation from the beginning. Well, at least until 1913, but we were before they were trying to get it going. But just say the last 100 years, you know, Abraham Lincoln tried to stop it. He was shot. JFK tried to print her own money. He actually printed some money, which got out, and there were a lot of reasons why he was shot because of that and other reasons. But yeah, we to this day, when you see a dollar bill, folks, it's already got debt attached to it already, and that's why it takes more and more and more dollars to buy fewer and fewer goods, because it's so laden with debt, it's lost its purchasing power. Doesn't have the power to buy that it wants to, you know.
Hey, you know,
it's crazy, man.
We're just talking about fascism since that's the word of the week. Since all people, like everyone, since
it is fascism is the word of the week for sure.
Then you know we can give another example. I just gave two examples of that, which was Italy, which was highly successful, Spain, which was highly successful for 35 years.
Yep. Yep.
NSDAP wasn't fascist, but it was kind of modeled after fascism a little bit. You know, what in recent history, like in just recent history, you know, what's the most successful Central American, South American, like what's the most, you know, the country which thrived, which just thrived and did very, very, very well for itself? That would be the country of Chile under a guy named Augusto Pinochet. And the first thing he did when he took power was he kicked out the fucking communists and the money changers and had an extremely
right.
successful country for a lot of years.
For decades. And now the leftists are trying to get back in control, and they're having some issues down there now from my sources. But, yeah, because Pinochet is gone now. Now it's kind of like a moderate/leftist government. I'd say it's run by the Democrat Party, basically is what Chile is now. But you're right. Back in the day, for many generations, look, people always talk about how bad Pinochet was. War is hell, okay? And if you want, you've got to root out these people in your country who are trying to subvert it. And Pinochet knew that. You know, he did, like a lot of people. They either leave the country peacefully. If they don't, then you got to root them out because they're stubborn and, you know, they're just going to wreak havoc on your people, right? So it is what it is. I always tell you, history is not always pleasant. A lot of unpleasant things happened in history, but it was done for the greater good, right? So Chile, sometimes, well, it's a bad analogy, but you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, right?
You do.
You can't just look at an egg and say, I want an omelet. You got to break the egg. You got to crush it, mix it up. And a lot of life is like that. You know, a lot of life is brutal. I tell you, where do you think steak comes from? Who killed the cow? Somebody did. Your burger, who killed the cow for that? The pepperoni on your pizza. Who slaughtered the pig for that? A lot of things that we don't see in our sanitized, civilized world, right? But They're out there nevertheless, and they happen. If you want meat, I'm watching a great show on the History Channel called Mountain Men, one of my favorite shows, okay? That and Ancient Aliens. Mountain Men's a good show because it shows the guys out there in the Montana or Blue Ridge Mountains, and he will tell you, or Alaska, we need meat for my family. We're living off the land. I'm going to shoot a deer today. Well, great. Get out there. And he shot a deer. One guy shot a cow on these islands. They cut it up right there, old school style. Get the meat, bag it, put it in the canoe, and they paddle down to their boat and their truck. That's how it's done. And they show the guy taking his knife out and cutting the flesh right off the bone. Camera crew is there. You know, that's how it's been done for millions of years. But most Americans don't want to see that. But I like that show because that show, I'm glad they're putting that stuff on the air just to educate people, the millennials especially, of where things come from. You know, it's amazing, man. Lincoln, what are your final thoughts tonight, buddy?
Nothing really. I've given you a break for a few weeks. I haven't really gone too hard on your show. I guess my final thought would be Irish Pirate brought up Abraham Flexnor. Just a fun fact, just throwing it out there just to be, you know, for the sake of knowledge. He was Jewish and invented, you know, the vaccine at the time. And just so happens that today, modern day, Pfizer, Moderna, like every single one of those countries are all owned by Jews as well. It's just a fun fact, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Well, they are. It's a fact. They definitely are. And I always say it is what it is. You know, they definitely are out there. And Mr. Goldstein runs those corporations, right? Gosh.
At least we have the Omicron booster coming out soon. Can't wait for that. and Trump will tell us to take it, unfortunately.
Yeah, he will. He will. That's one thing. I never liked his vaccine stance at all. Trump needs to shut up about that. I agree, man. He needs to shut up. If you're a president, you should never tell the American people to take an experimental vaccine, period. Experimental means experimental. Words mean things.
What are people
going to
do? What are conservatives? What are they going to do in 2024 when we deal with like the debates on TV between Trump and Biden or whoever replaces Biden? And the entire debate is like one big argument over who loves Jews more and who vaccinated more people.
And what's your stance on January the 6th? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, look, I've told people before, I go, America's the most generous country in the world. We have more Jews in New York City, I think, than Israel. Okay. And we have more Mexicans than Mexico, I think. We have more, the stats came out, we have more Hondurans in America than Honduras. We have over 50% now of the Honduran citizens. Mainly they're in California and the Southwest, but they're all over. They're all over. I have friends in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Midwest, your part of your neck of the woods. And they go, man, they're all over here too. And these stats of we're getting, you know, tens of thousands of Chinese, you know, we have more Chinese people, I think, right now in America than the whole island of Taiwan. You know, you can pick any country. We have more of these people. It's just, yeah, we can't absorb the whole world. But America is, it's not what it used to be. That's for damn sure, man. You know. That's why they call it the Christian Judeo country, right?
I do. There's no term I hate more than the word Judeo-Christian, because Jews literally don't even believe Christ. Jews believe that Jesus Christ was the son of was just some guy that was created from a whore, prostitute, and a Roman soldier. That's the Jewish belief of Jesus Christ.
I know.
He's rotting in
hell. Well, yeah. I mean,
like, This is the most.
If you talk to a real Jewish person, they'll confide in you and say that we don't believe he's the Son of God. They do not believe that. They go, we, at the very best, at the most, they'll say, he might have been a prophet for some, but not for my people or my tribe. Exactly. We believe he was the son of a prostitute in Judea.
It's the biggest oxymoron.
That's a made-up word. It's an oxymoron. It's a made-up word, exactly. The two are not compatible on many fronts.
They literally detest Christians while Christians can never stop professing their undying love to Jews. It's insane.
I know. It's an incestuous love-hate relationship. It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre.
It's
well, that's a made-up term. Yeah, it's a made-up term. We'll end the show on it. It's a made-up term historically that was made up decades ago. It was created out of thin air. Our founding fathers never said we're going to fight the British because we want to start a Judeo-Christian nation. No, that's not what they said. That wasn't even that word. That phrase wasn't even known. George Washington never rode his horse and said, I want to start a Judeo-Christian nation for all people of the world. No, they said, that's so fucked up. They said, we want a nation for our people and our progeny, which means our sons, our daughters, our lineage, not the world. America was not about the world. It's globalism crap. That's all new. And all the people that say America, that's who we are. No, that's not who we are. It's not who we are. That's all made up CNN, liberal talk show crap, liberal journalists from New York. All rhino crap that they look. If you go to Congress, I get it. You got to play the game. My thing is, I understand. As in Rome, there's an old saying, as in Rome, do as the Romans do. If you want to be successful, my thing is just don't overdo it, guys. I know you got to pay lip service once in a while if you want to keep your seat. I get it. You got a family to feed too. I get it. But just don't overdo it. People like us just cringe and we hate that stuff. It's like, look, we are, I always said, America, we're the most generous people. We take in people from all over the world and we'll leave it at that. And they're all here, and that's why, as I said in my monologue, we are a Tower of Babel. America is the new Babylonian whore. It just is that's what we are. We're not really a nation, because a real nation cares about their borders, and we obviously don't in this country. We do not care one iota about our border. And then people say that we do. I go, we don't. Fox News every morning, they're just pouring over. They will send you – America's funny. They will have hover shots, you know, from a hovercraft over the Texas border. They'll show you video of them coming over the Rio Grande. But America is ballless, and nobody ever stops them. Nobody ever stops anything in this country. They just show you on video. That's how moronic we are. We love video, but nobody wants to really do anything in the real world.
Someone posted a meme in my chat a couple of days ago, and it really summed things up very, very well. It's harsh to hear, but when you think about it, it's pretty true. It says that America is no longer alive. America is simply a corpse being picked apart and eaten by vultures from Israel, Africa, Mexico, every other nation. It's just being picked apart by these vultures from other nations.
It's largely true, man. Largely true. Lincoln, have a great night, man. Great talking to you. Appreciate it, bud.
Hey, by the way, I want to tell you, I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get off. I want to say thank you for having the balls to let a guy like me on, because a lot of these shows, even on, you know, they will never have a guy like me on, because
I might say
edgy facts, which are factual. They're real. They're factual. Anyone can look it up, and it's factual. It's real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shit that you don't hear when you're glued to Fox News all day. But it's real. It's true. You can look it up for yourself if you don't believe me. And if you want to debate me, I'll be happy to debate you on the Bond Show. It's so thank you for
Oh, you're welcome,
balls.
Man, because one thing about me, I love the truth. I love the truth. Yeah.
People like you give me hope that people are out there that actually have a set of balls and will actually say things and allow things. Instead of bitching about cancel culture and then canceling people, they actually do believe in freedom of speech and people saying things. Not many people do. You do. I appreciate that. Many of us do.
I do, man. I've got brass balls. I love free speech. I think this country needs way more free speech. Just put it out there, and I love it, man. Now, that's really what this show is about, and we will continue that, and we will never – I don't care if a news crew comes to my house tomorrow. I'll tell them all their face. This is how it's going to be done. We're not going to shrink away. If anybody asks me a hardball question, I'll throw it right back at them, man. Have a great night, Lincoln. I'll talk to you soon, man. You know it.
Have a good night, brother. Hail victory.
Hail victory. Have a great night, Lincoln. Appreciate that. Yeah, folks, Lincoln's right. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that are crazy about our country. On my show, this is a German steel platform where you can speak your effing mind and no one's going to censor you unless unless I get a caller that goes off the deep end using tons of profanity. If you just have an opinion, I might agree with it, you know? And I think the wide variety of opinions that we have is great, and we'll get things out there in the cyberspace and the radio airwaves that, oh my God, the Fox News or CNN they're deathly afraid of. They are deathly afraid of alternative radio. They are afraid of these kinds of platforms and portals. We are a threat to their mental paradigm. I've got German balls of steel, and that's how it's going to be, because I don't shirk away from a fight, and I just dig in for the long siege. I'm the opposite. I don't run. I dig in. And right now we're digging into the show, and we've dug in around the castle walls, and we have a siege mentality on my show. It is war. And we will say what's on our mind, and we will attack them verbally and in the stratosphere and on the radio, in cyberspace, on blogs, on my podcasts. And there's very few like my show. So we are the one and only, often imitated, I always say never duplicated. And we're so thankful for everyone to be here tonight. We ran into some good overtime, had a good conversation. Had some great calls, and we get some things out there that you will not hear anywhere else. Now, there are many people out there that might not like it. I don't care if they don't like it. It's the way it's going to be. We're not here to, again, I'm not trying to curry favor or lick the boots of any little protected group. They can all go to hell. We're trying to be the best radio show, have free speech reign supreme. We are not here to curry favor with groups that would have nothing to do with us anyway. Not trying to be the biggest show. Remember, we're trying to be the best radio show. Like the founding fathers who started the nation for themselves, their families, and their progeny, this show is for you, your family, and your progeny. And with that, I'm signing off from my Arizona studio. We thank you all for being here. We will end the show with some great new wave music from the 1980s. It was pre-COVID America, the way America used to be. Now, Democrat Gavin Newsom said that by the year 2035, there will be no gas-powered cars in California. Yet, they're going to have rolling blackouts, and the electric grid in California may crash and burn. I like many parts of California, but the Democrat governor is a moron, and I'll tell it to his face if I ever see him. Unbelievable carnage out there in California, but we wish them well, and I'll leave you with this tonight. Good night from my radio stronghold and studio, and God bless America. Stay strong. Keep the faith. Good night.